John, what signs do you see that this could be the most negative campaign ever?
Well, I think there's probably three reasons I would identify as suggesting that this may be one of the most negative midterm elections in recent memory. First, the parties continue to polarize on all different kinds of issues, and that polarization gives the grounds, the basis, if you will, for attacks. So as the parties differ more and more, there's more reasons to criticize each other. That's reason number one. Reason number two is that the battle for control of the Senate and the House is close. And when things tend to get close, there's some reason to believe, and there's some evidence for the fact that more and more attacks take place because the stakes increase. And so you've got this kind of structural feature afoot. The third reason that I think negativity may be at an all-time high in this midterm election is that, in a sense, neither party has a lot to run on. The Republicans have governed for the last 2 years since the 2004 election. Gas prices are very, very high. The situation in Iraq is a mess. The federal budget is in shambles by some standards. There's lots of problems. There's not a lot of things they can run on. The Democrats aren't in much better shape. They're not speaking with a unified voice. There's a lot of disagreement about what direction to go. They're not sure whether they should be an anti-war party or try to stay the course. And there's disagreement. So they don't have a clear agenda either that offers a certain programs for government. So that what can be done is attacking the other side. There's lots of reasons to criticize the Republicans, and there's reasons to criticize the Democrats. So I think you bring those three features together, and I suspect 2006 will be by, you know, lots of different standards, pretty nasty.
How unusual is this that there is this growing split in the Democratic Party with the people that are, you know, so opposed to Lieberman that, you know, he actually lost the primary race? And how is that going to impact the Democratic Party?
Well, there's been a lot of effort to generalize from Lieberman to the Democrats nationally. I'm not sure how much you can do so. I mean, the vote, whether you voted for Lamont or you voted for Lieberman, doesn't tell you a lot of information. It simply indicates that you support one person more than the other, but you don't know those reasons. You know, you could interpret the Lieberman defeat as simply a statement that there's a lot of unhappiness about the war. And it's not any statement about Ned Lamont in any positive way. It's just an anti-Lieberman statement. That's my best guess. But again, you know, it's really hard to sort these things out, and people love to try to read election results and make them more important and bigger than they are. I don't think it necessarily sends the Democrats off to some extreme. The question I have is, because turnout was sizable for Connecticut primary, but overall you only talked about 15-20% of the voters at best in Connecticut, so a very small sample. Is it measuring the extent of the anti-war sentiment out there? And if it is, that may spell trouble for the Republicans in 2006. But if, in fact, it turns out to be just a really extreme element of the Democratic Party that's really off the mainstream, maybe it'll signal that the Democrats are in trouble. I mean, it's just hard to read on this. But the news media love to, you know, interpret these events, and they tend to overinterpret them.
Does it seem similar to what happened back in the late 60s or early 70s with Vietnam?
Well, there's a lot of analogies to that. I mean, you know, there was support for the Vietnam War for a long period of time, and then really around 68 or so, it turned against the war. Certainly 60% of the public or so is opposed to the Iraq War, and by some standards, it may even be higher. And so, yeah, it could be that. The difficulty is that these things are – this attitude towards the Iraq War is event-driven. Imagine, for example, if we managed to capture Osama bin Laden. Even though, in fact, that is not necessarily tied to the Iraq War, that'd be a huge boost in lots of different fronts, and obviously a good thing in a lot of ways. There are events that could change this. But right now, things are bad, and you have people like Thomas Friedman, who had been, you know, a supporter of the war, who's now jumped ship and said there's a civil war and this is a mess. A general at the, you know, recent congressional hearings indicated that we're on the verge of a civil war. Then there's the memo released that from the British government that indicates the same thing. There's lots of signals that suggest that the situation in Iraq is really bad. And then, therefore, it could be analogous to Vietnam. But you always look for analogies, and Iraq is unique in lots of different ways. And hopefully things will work out. But right now, it's testing people.
Will the war be much of an issue here in Tennessee between Corker and Ford?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. I don't have a very good answer for that, because the importance of an issue isn't just the salience of the issue to the public, Iraq matters to the citizens of Tennessee, and they care about it, and this matters. But it's also a function of what the positions are that the candidates take. Harold Ford has been very moderate in a lot of his views on a lot of key issues, and Iraq is certainly one of them. He has not been tied to somebody like a Ned Lamont. You can't tie him to that. He's been very pro-military, very supportive of veterans, other things like that. I suspect Bob Corker will as well. It'll be interesting to see the kinds of strategies that are mapped out, because the Republicans will clearly try to paint the congressman as liberal. And there are a few votes that he's taken, certainly are. But for the most part, when you support, you know, amendment to ban flag burning, ban gay marriage, taking stands against partial birth abortions, et cetera, that's a pretty, you know, moderate, mainstream kind of set of attitudes that reflect a lot of values of Tennessee. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But right now, I don't necessarily think it'll be a key issue, not because it doesn't matter, but because the candidates aren't dividing themselves in a way that would allow the voters to use that issue to say, yes, I'm going to vote for the former mayor, or I'm going to vote for the congressman.
What impact did all those negative ads have in the Republican primary?
Well, you know, there's a lot of speculation about how negative the Republican primary was, and certainly there were a lot of attack ads. If you compare those ads to what's gone on nationally, they really weren't all that unusual, and I'm not even convinced they were unusual for Tennessee. I think that it did cause some problems for Corker. The key thing, I think, for the campaign coming up is that Bob Corker ran a couple of ads that got a lot of scrutiny and a lot of criticism. When Bob Corker airs his ads, and he will certainly air some negative ads, contrast ads, whatever terms you want to use, members of the news media will be watching these ads with great care. So he better be careful to make sure that all those ads are absolutely factually correct, because I think he, you know, was struggling a little bit near the end of the campaign because he had been caught in some exaggerations, if you will. And he didn't want to face that again. And so that one of the impacts of it is that the way that ad campaign turned out is Corker may be more reluctant to go negative than Ford. I also think that the congressman will try to, you know, run a campaign that will indicate that he's above this kind of nastiness, that he wants to set a new tone for Washington. That seems to me the kinds of messages he wants. At the end of the day, if the race gets close, and right now we don't have any good polling data. I mean, there were some polls done prior to it, but there weren't no good polling data right now that tells us where this race stands. You've got to believe it's reasonably close. I doubt that it's, you know, 10 points for either candidate. It's going to be reasonably close. And these candidates aren't necessarily well known. And so the first thing that they want to do is get their names out. They want to be able to try to define themselves even better than they are now. And we'll see. But I suspect that it probably will, in some sense, make this campaign in the early stages of it less likely to go negative. But as it gets towards October and Election Day approaches, and let's say it's really close, you'll also see huge numbers of 527 groups. These are these independent organizations that air ads like the Swift Boat ads, the most famous of that genre in 2004. There'll be a lot of money coming in because Tennessee is the tipping point. If Tennessee goes Democratic in the Senate, the Senate might just go Democratic. And boy, that's where a lot of money will come in, both from the national parties, but also from these 527 groups. So the real source of negativity in the Senate campaign may not actually be from the congressman or from the former mayor, but in fact from these 527 groups. But that'll all depend on how close the race is. If, let's say, something shifts it where suddenly it becomes unclose, let's say Bob Corker makes a big mistake or the congressman makes a mistake and shifts things dramatically, then people back off because they'll know it'll move in one direction and not invest resources.
Will it be hard to separate the candidates as far as their views, since I believe it was Ed Bryant that said Harold Ford is sounding like Ronald Reagan these days? I mean, he's coming out with fairly moderate or even conservative positions.
Well, that's, you know, one of the things that I will be most interested about this race is that there will be an effort to paint Harold Ford as a liberal. And as your question just indicated, and the record clearly indicates, he's not a liberal. There are some positions he's taken, sure, that you could paint as liberal. But for the most part, he's taken very, very moderate positions, and he's done so for a long time. It's not a matter that he's just started to do it as he's thought about running for Senate. And how the Republicans try to chase after him, painting him as a liberal out of touch with Tennessee values, the Ford people have to respond pretty strongly, but it'll be interesting to see. And one of the cards out there that I don't think the Corker people will play, but one of the things that as a political scientist I watch for because it's been played, is will, in fact, some organization, whether it be Corker or not, but let's just say some 527 group, will they play the race card? Will they try to say, hey, Harold Ford's black, and therefore he must be a liberal? You know, have him with some picture of Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton or whatever, some other, you know, very prominent African-American leader who is, you know, self-proclaimed liberal. Will they try to taint him with that? The Ford people have thought about this, surely, and they will have a response. But we'll see if how they try to do it, because the facts belie a liberal label. And so it will be also very, you know, important for Ford to lay out his views, defend those views, and come across as the kind of moderate that he's really, you know, run on and acted on over the years. It makes the campaign interesting, especially from my point of view.
It will also be interesting to see whether Corker tries to attack the Ford family, I suppose, since John Ford is under indictment and Harold Ford, the senior, has had his problems.
Yeah, certainly. You know, again, the Ford name will be an issue that will come up both ways. At the end of the day, I don't know how much it will play in the following sense. All of us have members of our family that we love and we, you know, respect, but we wish they didn't do what they did and that they didn't act as they did. And everybody can understand that. So, and if you attack a family too harsh, there's some data that suggests it backfires, because at the end, you know, family is sacred. Harold Ford has shown no indication of not supporting his family. He loves his family. He's going to back his family. There's things that they've done that he doesn't support, and that's true for all of us. So it's one thing that all voters can understand. I mean, we all have members of our family who, you know, don't necessarily make us happy, and I'm sure there's members of my family who they, you know, aren't very pleased with me too. I mean, that's just the way it goes. So I don't worry too much about that because the Ford people have thought about that long and hard, and I don't think that Bob Corker is going to chase after the Ford family. Again, maybe it's something that the 527 groups will do, but people will see what that's for. And the congressman will have to show that he's not just, you know, a product of his family, that there are differentiations. And candidates often have to, you know, do that to show not necessarily not ties to the family, but certain, you know, political views or certain groups they may be members of, you know, whatever the case may be. So it'll be interesting to see. But I suspect that issue will not be as important as lots of people have thought, especially now with that Ford trial being moved until 2007.
Are you surprised at all by the glut of negative ads, considering this is only September?
Well, I'm not sure it's a glut of negative ads, but I do think that we have a lot of negative ads, and there's going to be more to come, and probably overall more than we've seen in recent memory. I'm not surprised by it, because there's lots of differences between the parties, and there's big stakes. And both sides have problems, and they can use those problems by attacking the other side. So that this is quite – it fits with what's going on in politics today. Let's put it that way.
Do you think the public is educated enough to know the difference between an ad that Ford or Corker runs and one that the Republican National Committee or Democratic National Committee runs?
Well, that's actually a really important question, and it's not entirely clear that the public does sort these things out. In today's politics, if you run an ad and you pay for it with your money, the ad might say, you know, I paid for this message at the end of it. Where with Republican or Democratic parties, they have a tagline at the end, but it isn't the same kind of thing. So maybe the public sorts it out. But the real problem is that these ads that don't have candidate accountability in them, so to speak, often are much harsher and much more negative. And so the public, you just have to have faith in, which I actually do, that they can, you know, not only weather these kinds of attack ads, but maybe even profit from them. And remember that both sides get to air them. So that even if the Republicans air a pretty hard-hitting negative ad against Congressman Ford, the Democrats have the same opportunity. And it's this exchange back and forth and all of the kinds of information that comes available to voters that allow them to make an informed choice. One ad isn't going to be the only voice out there.
Trying to hit Congressman Ford on security, I guess that's a pattern that the Republicans will be doing in other states as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think that the Republicans in general will try to attack the Democrats on security, and the attacks here that Corker has aired against Ford fits that general pattern. I also think that they, the Republicans that is, will try to paint most Democratic candidates as, quote, liberal,
And that'll be something that they'll try to do across the board. And again, here in Tennessee, they're trying to do that, though interestingly, Congressman Ford has enough positions on issues that suggest perhaps he's not a liberal. So it'll be incumbent upon the congressman to blunt that claim and show why, in fact, he's a moderate who would represent the interests of Tennessee. And that's what he has to do. And if he's not able to do it, then he might not, you know, he may well lose this election. But if he is able to, then, you know, he has a legitimate shot to be our next senator.
At this point, it seems too close to call as who will win in Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the last three polls have all indicated it's a statistical tie. The last one I saw had Ford ahead by three, one had Ford ahead by one, and then another had Ford just down by two. So, you know, basically it's very, very close, and maybe the debates that will be coming up will shape some people's attitudes, also some additional ads that will be coming. And there's still, you know, 55 days left in the campaign and lots of chances for people to learn about whether Bob Corker or Harold Ford should be our next senator.